Good morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath today as we begin our semester-long Tuesday series, The Ongoing Reformation, Lutheran Diversity Worldwide. We are excited to have the musical talents of Esther Wang as well as the Gustavus Choir with us this morning, and Dr. Marcia Bungie will be our speaker kicking off our series. There are a couple of Luther Playmobiles still unclaimed in the front. So at the end, if you want to come and grab one, you can. We are going to begin our service by standing and singing hymn number 509 in your red hymnal. Hymn number 509.
Good morning, everyone. This year marks the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and one of its leading figures was Martin Luther. His ideas continue to shape the lives of people around the world, whether they know it or not, whether they're Lutheran or not. For example, who here today can read? Raise your hand. Oh, fantastic! Looks like most of you. Well, in Luther's time, few people could read, and education was limited to the wealthy and boys. Luther and his colleagues radically challenged this practice, claiming all children, rich, poor, boys, girls, even orphans, should read and be educated so that they could contribute to the common good. Luther's ideas paved the way for universal education in Europe, and the Swedish Lutherans who founded this college in 1862 welcomed from the very start men and women. Luther's wide-ranging influence, not only in education, but also religion, music, and political life, helps explain why Luther was the best-selling author of his time, why he is included in histories of the Reformation, and yes, why the Luther Playmobil is the fastest-selling Playmobil toy in the history of the Playmobil company. So I hope you got one. If you didn't, you can still get them on Amazon. So the Reformation is a big deal, and Reformation mania is happening in many places beyond Minnesota. You betcha. So as one way to celebrate the Reformation and our college's heritage, this Tuesday Chapel series will focus on diverse Lutheran leaders and communities, past and present, in seven parts of the world. You see, although Luther was a Roman Catholic priest and monk who never intended to start a new church, his ideas and Lutheranism quickly spread far beyond Germany. Today, there are approximately 80 million Lutherans living not only in Europe and the Americas, but also Asia and Africa. Indeed, the largest and fastest growing Lutheran church in the world today is in Ethiopia. So today we begin our series then about Lutheran diversity worldwide, where Lutheranism began, in Germany. I first went there after graduating from St. Olaf with a major in music, wanting to learn German before I went on to graduate school in theology. Since then, I've been there many times. Ich spreche Deutsch, and I've taken groups of students there, including a great Gusti group last January. So I have spent a big part of my life learning about German Lutherans. And today I'm going to focus on Luther's key ideas about three themes: music, faith, and love, and tell a few stories of how these three themes were lived out in Germany. For some of you, the stories will be new. For others, they might be familiar. I chose them because they tell us a lot, not only about Luther and German Lutherans, but also why Lutherans worldwide have found Luther's ideas about music, faith, and love so life-giving. Now, a quick caveat. Lutherans who affirm these ideas don't affirm everything Luther said. Luther said and wrote a lot, not just about God and grace, but about his digestion and dirty diapers. He was an earthly flawed human being who expressed positive ideas, such as the need for universal education, but also destructive ones, such as his hateful writings about Jews, writings that have fueled anti-Semitism for centuries and that Lutherans today forcefully condemn. So although Luther was flawed, his ideas about music, faith, and love have been life-giving to Lutherans worldwide, helping them to contribute positively and sometimes even radically to the common good. So what did Luther say about music? Luther was a musician, composer, and hymn writer who claimed music is a powerful and profound gift of God to the world. For him, music isn't just entertaining. It is a vital element of human existence that promotes joy, healing, and intellectual and even spiritual growth. Next to the Word of God, he wrote, music deserves the highest praise. Luther really couldn't praise music highly enough, concluding in one essay, I want to praise music with my whole heart, but I'm so overwhelmed by music's virtues and benefits that my praise is bound to be inadequate, for who in the world can comprehend it all? Since Luther's time, many Lutherans have become musicians, and probably the most famous is Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach's music is widely recognized as a gift, not just to Lutherans, but to the world. And we need to thank Esther Wang for playing those beautiful Bach pieces this morning. Thank you. Now, the power of Bach's music is very hard to explain, partly because of its scope and depth. In every book about him, I brought a few here, is just huge, including this most recent one with a stunning title, Bach, Music in the Castle of Heaven. Bach composed both sacred and secular music for choirs, orchestras, and solo instruments, serving in both churches and royal courts. During his last position in Leipzig, he served both as a cantor to four churches and as the director of music for the whole city, providing music for political functions, public events, and even coffee houses. For Bach, secular and sacred spill easily over into one another because for him, like for Bach, for Luther, music is a gift to the world. Bach signed many of his compositions with the words, Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone, and said, the aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. Luther's ideas about music and the example of Lutheran musicians like Bach have prompted Lutherans worldwide to hold music in very high regard, to sing and to compose. Virtually every Lutheran school, church, or college in the world has a choir. And at Gustavus, we got about four, right? Probably five by now. And wherever you find Lutherans, you will find them singing, whether at home, at church, at work, or at political protests. Danish Lutherans, for example, famously resisted the Nazis, not only through sabotage and helping their Jewish citizens flee, but also by gathering together by the thousands in parks and streets to sing. Related to Luther's views about music are his ideas about faith and love. Luther always connects faith and love because he believes that faith in God's love frees one to love others. For Luther, God is a gracious God who loves us as we are. And faith in God's grace not only justifies, renews, and makes us whole, but also empowers us to love others. This was a freeing message for Luther himself, because he had believed that God only loves those who are good enough, holy enough, or worthy enough to deserve and earn God's grace. This notion tortured Luther because he never felt he could do enough to earn God's favor. But through his close reading of the Bible, he began to understand that God's grace is a gift. And having faith in God's grace freed him from his own anxieties and self-absorption and freed him for others. Indeed, one of his most famous texts, some of you might have read, is called The Freedom of a Christian. For him, faith frees one from anxieties about always trying to measure up and brings joy and confidence. And faith frees one for the neighbor and for the world. One famous German Lutheran who affirmed and lived out this notion that faith frees one to love others and to engage fully in the world is the 20th century pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He is best known for his radical stand against the Nazis, and already in 1935, he criticized Hitler's anti-Jewish policies. He later became involved in a plot to kill Hitler, was imprisoned, and executed just days before the end of the war. Less well known, perhaps, is that Bonhoeffer was also an accomplished pianist, writing even in his letters from prison about finding comfort and courage in his favorite hymns and African-American spirituals. He was also an ecumenical and interfaith leader, even as a student, working for peace and justice by reaching out to and learning from people from diverse worldviews, including Catholics in Italy, African-American Baptists in Harlem, Jews, atheists, and even Gandhi, whom he had planned to visit in India. Today, the Catholic Church and leaders of interfaith initiatives, such as Eboo Patel, the head of Interfaith Youth Corps, all honor Bonhoeffer for his courage, interreligious engagement, and active resistance to injustice. One more example of active resistance to injustice by German Lutherans is the Peaceful Revolution of 1989, which ended with the fall of the Berlin Wall. I was an eyewitness to this revolution because it began in the city of Leipzig, and I had been invited to be a visiting professor at a seminary there when the city was still part of East Germany. I arrived in Leipzig in September, just as protests were building up. These protests had started after a regular Monday night prayer service for peace held at the Nikolai Church, where Bach had served. Many of my seminary students and colleagues participated in these Monday night services and helped lead them, and every Monday night I went with them. Over the course of the fall semester, we witnessed more and more people attending this peace service, then spilling out of the church to protest harsh governmental policies, such as travel restrictions or lack of freedom of speech. And as the number of demonstrators grew to the thousands, so did the number of soldiers, trucks, and guns that surrounded the church. Tensions grew until finally on Monday night, October 9th, over 70,000 people surrounded that church to pray for peace. And then they spilled out into the streets with candles in their hands, marching on the ring road around the whole inner city, shouting Frieden, peace, and keine Gewalt, no violence. Amazingly, no gunshots were fired, and 1 month later, the Berlin Wall collapsed. Of course, many factors brought down that wall, but a simple peace service and a host of courageous East Germans were genuine catalysts for change. I have shared these stories about music, faith, and love in Germany, not to glorify Lutherans. Like Luther, all Lutherans, whether in Leipzig or Minnesota, are flawed, and they often fail to speak out against injustices. And like other people, they face anxieties, struggles, and fears, whether personally, professionally, or politically. But grounded in the message of God's grace and inspired by music, many of them have found deep joy and the strength and courage to repent, to receive and offer forgiveness, and in small and sometimes even revolutionary ways to love others and seek justice, whether far away in Liberia or closer to home at Standing Rock. So I hope you come back on Tuesdays to learn more about Lutheranism around the world. And after the blessing, you're invited to stay and enjoy music by the Gustavus Choir and some German treats, including Gummibären and Schokolade.
So our real closing blessing will be sung by the choir, but as is customary at the end of many Lutheran services, we say, "Go forth in peace to love and to serve. Thanks be to God."